జయం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శరశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణానవేంద్ర భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజుల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నితిలీల ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శరశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజుల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి రామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త వృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాకుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగామాయికి యమునామాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సమవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అని శ్రీ గౌరంగా ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ నమాం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ బోధలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదానంద స్వామిని దినామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. పాఠాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన కృతిదాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయిని అంబత్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి నమోస్తు దేవ్యాస విశాలబుద్ధే ఫుల్లారవిందాయుధపత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారతతైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్నపారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకబాణయ జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావోదోగ్ధ గోపాలనందన పార్థోవత్స సుదీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచాణూరమర్దనం దేవగీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం భీష్మద్రోణతట జయద్రథజల గాంధారనీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహని కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వథామావికర్ణ ఘోరమగర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోత్తీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోత్కటం నానాఖ్యానకేసరం హరిగత సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకై సజ్జనశల్పదైరహర పేవీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంకజ కలిమలం ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్వన్వందివేస్తవైర్వేదై సాంగపదై క్రమ ఉపనిషదేర్గాయందియం సామగాః ధ్యానావస్థితద్గతేన మనసావశందియం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. Krishna is talking about sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, how these three things comes in jnanam, karmam and karta. It's not three verses, you have seen that, yeah? So, it is important to know the jnanam side of it, how it affects a person, yeah? And when we are not guided by shastram, then what happens is we do according what mind dictates from inside. And this is where shastram is essential to guide us through. Like yesterday, we were talking about
Nobel's case, Alfred Nobel, right? So the problem is that Nobel made a dynamite, no doubt, but the and I know Oppenheimer made the bomb, right? That's all known thing. The point I was trying to drive at was that you see, because Shastram has not affected them or had influence on their thoughts, what they have done didn't finish with them. Do you understand what I'm saying? It didn't finish with them. They created these explosives, whatever, bomb or dynamite, whatever it is, yeah? But these people who are now receiving the Nobel Prize, they are actually sharing the sinful reactions of Alfred Nobel, which they are not aware of. The whole world wants to get Nobel Prize. Everybody wants to get a Nobel Prize, right? But what they are not conscious of is that the fact that because Nobel created this wealth through such a destructive measures, not only he created the dynamite, he also started this famous company in Sweden called Bofors, which has become a big scandal in India long ago when Rajiv Gandhi was Prime Minister. Bofors issue. Hindujas were the agents who bought it and sold to the Indian defense. So you can see, Shastram, if it is understood properly, these things wouldn't happen. But because they are not aware of the, people have completely lost faith in the karma and the reaction that comes from karma. This is in Shastram, they call it as Ugra Pradigraham. Ugra Pradigraham means that suppose you have done something seriously wrong in life. You have done something seriously wrong, like Nobel did, like Oppenheimer did, all that. We are using Oppenheimer to publish, to propagate Bhagavad Gita. See, this is the irony of the whole thing. We use Oppenheimer's name in all the books, saying that he read Bhagavad Gita. But what did he do? That's what matters. Not that what he read. What did he do in this world? Oppenheimer created the bomb, right? So, ignorance, basically. And the reaction must follow. There is no question of, there is no escaping from that, yeah? So, Shastram has a way of doing these things. For example, if you kill children, women, and very old people, it is considered to be highly sinful, because they are not to be killed in any circumstances. Children, women, and old people. Because they cannot defend themselves. So therefore, killing them is considered to be seriously punishable. And therefore, in the Shastram, what they say is, suppose something happens like that, then what they will do is, they have a system called this Ugra Pradigraham. Pradigraham means that the person who has done, he gives all his wealth in charity to a Brahmana. Now when he does that, no Brahmana will come forward to receive it. Nobody will come. Even though it's a lot of wealth they give in charity, nobody will come to receive it. It is a big problem, because they know if you accept that charity, you are accepting that sinful reaction of that person who has done this, right? So it is something like, I was mentioning this before, karma vibhagam, karma vibhaga prayaschitam. Like in Melpathur's case, Achyuta Pisharadi was his teacher, and Achyuta Pisharadi had arthritis and he couldn't bear that. And they had a system by which, if someone is willing to accept it, they could transfer it from his body to the disciple's body. So Melpathur came forward and accepted it because of felt obliged to do that. That is why at the age of 27, when you are the prime of your youth, he got arthritis, and then he came to Guruvayur and all that. That story comes later. So the important thing is that they knew the science of the karma, how karma works in this world. And karma can be transferred, even that process they knew that. Karma vipakam they call it, prayaschitam. It is well-known thing in them days. Nowadays nobody is doing it because no one has any faith in karma anymore. People have even lost that faith, right? So in the same way, when this Ugra Parigraham happens, no one comes to receive it, because they know that if you take it, you are accepting that. To such an extent, people had faith in the Shastram. That's gone now in the world. It's not there now. People think they can get away with anything what they do. And this is the mindset, most of the cases, right? So that is why if you don't accept Bhagavad Gita, and if you don't understand what Krishna is saying, the implications of that is very heavy. And they may have come and done 100 years, they lived here, they did what they want, made a lot of money, and then they lot a charity, and then they're gone. But it's not that simple as we think about it. The subtle side of that, yeah. So that's what we were discussing yesterday. And I was looking at the verses here in our Bhagavad Gita series. So Prabhupada has given the translations of the verses with very little purport on these verses. Particularly these some of these important verses, which is which we'll understand now when we go through it. Right? So we were saying that Krishna mentioned that how things can degrade in relationship with the institutions. What will happen? He's already mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita how things will happen, right? The enlightened person, all the knowledge is there, and then the disciples and the devotees, and then followers and others comes later, and then the bureaucrats after that, and then the office bearers. In this way, the message gets lost in the process. Yeah, after a few one or two generations, it just becomes a mundane thing then. So here, all spiritual institutions, Krishna's spoken. This refers to all of them, right? And that is why he said, Sa evayam maya tevya yoga prokta puradana bhaktosime sakajeri rahasyam hedaduttamam. He told Arjuna, right? So, for your sake, Arjuna, I am saying this, and but when you are in the bhakti process, this will come up again somewhere else. Someone else will come up with this knowledge. And as fresh, right? And it may not happen in the same place where you thought it will happen. It may come up somewhere else, with somebody else will come out, right? So this Vaidya Parambara, the Vedic Parambara, is only a field for great personalities to come time and again. And personalities will come in course of time at different times, right? So, but in order that for them to come, there has to have a environment for that. And that is Tyagam. That Tyagam has to come from them. That and the person who comes has to have that power also. So, for example, when Vivekananda was here, Vivekananda Swamiji was here, followed by a lot of other people, like Ramathirtha, Swami Ramathirtha. He came from Lahore. He came. And he became so famous later. And he was inspired by Vivekananda to come to spiritual path. Right? He was a mathematics professor or something in the university there. And so, Vivekananda, before he left his body, he spoke to his disciples and he was saying to them that I love you so much because of my love, I want you to die for others, he said. That was his message to them. That for the benefit of others, you have to sacrifice your life. And all the Ramakrishna Mission sannyasis were like that. Quite a few of them were very good. Most of them survived and but some of them became very famous and they established the mathams in different places, right? So, in other words, his inspiration, he was such a source of inspiration for them, right? He said that you build a bridge for others to walk through for the path of liberation. You build them a bridge, he said to them. He called it as Sedu Bandhanam, like Ramachandra's Sedu Bandhanam, to go to Sri Lanka. In the same, he said, build a bridge for others, for them to easily walk through the path of liberation. That is how he spoke about that, right? Otherwise, he said, you just lived here and ate a lot of food and slept a lot and then you died. What benefit is there, he said. That was his words. You came here, you ate a lot of food, finished up a lot of food, and then slept a lot, and then you died and gone. What a difference it makes, yeah? So, he was the fire element before the independence movement. You have to go back to history at that time what was happening to understand this. That he was a big fire element which fired up everyone in that way, right? So, and he threw fire at different places and it got fire and all these personalities came up, right? And it's after result is that how other people came even to Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa wasn't known. It's only through Vivekananda Ramakrishna Mission was built up and people came to see him, right? So, and what I was trying to say was, you remember yesterday, we're coming to Swadharmam. To know what I should do in my life, it takes time to find it out. There were so conscious of these things. Not like today. Today we just created a Shudra society in every way, isn't it? Not independent thinking, not the capacity to think about the effect of life and purpose of life, things like that, right? And therefore, what happens is our mind is always disturbed because of this, that you don't feel peace with the thing what you are doing in life. You are just doing it as a job or a work to survive in this world. And that shouldn't be like that. Like, we get disturbed in our mind because we are not peace with what we are doing. Like Vedavyasa Maharshi also felt the same thing. Vivekananda also felt the same thing about their own life, right? Ashanda, right? So, some great event is going to happen through Vivekananda and he has traveled far and wide throughout Bharat Bhumi to find out what he should be doing. And he met with one sannyasi called Chatambi Swamiji. He was a yogi, actually. This happened somewhere near Kanyakumari. This incident happened, right? So, he was sitting underneath the tree, this Chatambi Swamiji. Vivekananda is inquiring about yogis all the time, wherever he travels. Yogis, jnanis, great personalities. He is looking for to meet with them and to talk to them. Because he is still thinking in his mind whether it is worthwhile, necessary to go to US or not. For that parliament of religions, right? So, there is a conversation between him and this Chatambi Swamiji. Chatambi Swamiji doesn't speak English. So, they had to have a conversation in Sanskrit between Vivekananda and Chatambi Swamiji, right? So they were talking about different aspects of yoga process, Ashtanga Yoga, this thing called the Chinmudra. So, Vivekananda wanted to know about the Chinmudra from this Chatambi Swamiji because he was very knowledgeable person on the yoga process, right? So, Vivekananda says to him, they are sitting underneath the tree and there was a monkey sitting on the top of the tree. He says, my mind is like that, he said, to Chatambi Swamiji. Vivekananda says to him, my mind is like this, it's running around everywhere, not getting anywhere, he said, right? So, Chatambi Swamiji was there and he had some disciples also with him. So they did not understand the conversation very much because it was in Sanskrit between Chatambi Swamiji and Vivekananda, right? So they asked him that afterwards to Chatambi Swamiji, what did you tell him? He seems to be a nice sannyasi. He was young and did you speak to him? He says he was complaining to me about his mind, how flickering it is, like the monkey in the top of the tree, right? So, I have told him that I can't give you any advice on that because I'm like a small ant in front of you. Chatambi Swamiji told him that you are like a Garuda in the sky. I am like a small ant. And you shouldn't have to worry about that so much. Mind is always like that, monkey, nature. The mind has got that nature. And some high power is speaking through you, some powerful person, right? And at that time, he hasn't gone to America. Vivekananda has not gone to America, right? So, it is before that this meeting happened between him, right? So, what was happening was, in Vivekananda's mind, there was a strong vibration happening, whether to go or not to go. He was not able to make up his mind. It takes time to make these decisions, right? So, ultimately he says that, you also have to remember, Vivekananda is a Vedantist. For them, this world is not even real. Remember that, yeah? World is not real for them, because world is just a projection of Maya. And to sort this world, to travel to America, it requires some strong motivation from inside. Otherwise you can't do it, isn't it? If you think the world is real, then you can do what you want. You will have the enthusiasm to do it. But when you know, who has studied Vedantam and who knows world is not even real, should I endeavor to sort out this world? That question will come inside the mind, wouldn't not? It's natural. So, his point was that he considered Jagat Mithya. Jagat is Mithya for him. So, but he requires the energy to go to America to speak, right? So, at that time, he is thinking about Paramahamsa's words, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's words, that through you something has to happen in this world. This is also in his mind. Something important has to happen in this mind, right? So he was taking his own time to find out whether he should act in this way or not, right? And practically in life he had no interest in all these things, in sorting out the world, because he himself says like this, that it is like a dog's tail. You try to fix it, as soon as you take the pipe off, the tail will go back to its original position. And you know that that's the way it is, right? So one has to be totally detached while doing things in this world, with expectation of results and thinking that I have sorted it out, I have done this. With kartrutvam and expectation of results, if you do that, it will not work. And that is why Krishna is saying this important verse, Mukta Sangaha, he says. You remember that? The first word. When he talks about the 26th verse, he says, Mukta Sangaha. What does that mean? This word Mukta Sangha is so important. And this verse is also so important. 26th verse. Like we saw the 17th verse. Yasya naham krado bhavo buddhir yasya na lipyade hatva bisa iman loka nahanti na nibhadyade. The 17th verse, right? And equally important is this verse to understand Mukta Sango Anaham Vadi Dridi Ulsaha Samanyuta Siddhya Siddhyor Nirvigaraha Karta Satyika Muchyade. What is Satyika Karma? Satyika Karta, sorry. What is Satyika Karta? That is what is discussed in that verse, right? Mukta Sango Anaham Vadi. All these words are very powerful. Till you understand the spiritual side of that words, you won't understand the words itself properly. Mukta Sangaha Anahamvadi Dridi Ulsaha Samanyuta Siddhya Siddhyor Nirvigaraha Karta Satyika Muchyade. One who is executing karmam in Satyika Karta. One who is executing in Satyika Karmam or Satyika Karta he is. His nature is this. Mukta Sangaha Anahamvadi Dridi Ulsaha Samanyutaha Siddhya Siddhyor Nirvigaraha Karta Satyika Muchyade. So, there are examples for this. From Puranams, you have to get that. How they have done these things. Vivekananda Swami is one example. Anjaneya Swami is another example for this. this Mukta Sangha Anahankari, right? So, Anahamgadi, Mukta Sangha Anahamvadi, right? No Sangam anywhere. No Sangam anywhere. And no pride in anything, what they are doing, right? And if they get to work, they will do it, but not attached to anything from the results, right? And is it like that, that they did with that in that such a detached mood? No. They have tremendous willpower in them to do it, right? You can imagine a dynamism like that in a person who has tremendous willpower, but he is not attached to the result of the work, or he does not think himself to be doing the work, right? Nisangada, yeah? No pride, yeah? So, both Anjaneya Swamiji's activities, if you look in Ramayanam, and the way Vivekananda did his work, also was in the same spirit. Yeah. So when Hanuman had to go to Sri Lanka, right, and Sugriva selected him for the mission, right? Yeah. Sugriva was particularly conscious of everyone in his camp. Many, many great personalities were there, Jambavan, Angada, and so many others, right? But Sugriva says that, I find these qualities in you, to Hanuman, right? And that is, Sugriva is a very intelligent person, right? And Sugriva also had the capacity to order others and get things done. He was like that, right? Everyone will follow him, whatever he tells them, right? He had that power. So he selected Hanuman for this mission, right? And he says that you got the power, the intelligence, and that heroic nature to do such a difficult task, right? And also the physical strength and the intelligence for doing that, and also that adventurous nature. You have all that, he said. And also, you also know the desham kalam and the vritti. That means able to execute a karmam based on the time and place, their capacity, right? In which place, in particular time, what should be done? That capacity you have that, he says to Hanuman. So he's chosen him for that. And that does require some power to know how to make judgment in different situations. So Sugriva knew that Hanuman had that intelligence to make proper decisions at the right time, right? So that we're saying all these things, he is sending Hanuman for this mission, for that, right? And you can see how he managed it, how very well he managed the whole thing, right? How to talk to Sita Devi, because it was a very difficult mission. Sita Devi was kidnapped, and she has been there for quite a long time by now, along with this Rakshasa woman, and Ravana was trying to get her to agree with Ravana's ideas, right? So, he had the power and the tejas for that, right? So, Hanuman saw her, we are saying, you see the difficulty now, we consider Hanuman as a monkey, isn't it? Because we don't know about Hanuman's actual background, right? We call him as a vanara. Actually, he is not exactly a vanara, he is a kinnara. Kinnara he is. In them days, there were living entities, there were species like that, kinnaras. Now they have all not present, Gandharvas, Yakshas, Charanas. They were present in Ramayana's time, Ramchandra's time. They were all present in this world. And they are not just ordinary monkeys, because in English you don't have kinnaras. So you have to use something close to it. So they started using this word monkey. And everybody, and then others, this is the difficulty with the language. People start saying, you worship monkeys, you do use a thing like that. Actually, kinnaras, charanas, gandharvas, yakshas, all these things are higher living entities with a higher power, higher intelligence, and capable of doing higher things as well. So, these things have happened. That category of people are not there now in the present world, right? Even Mahabharata time they have gone. By then they have gone from this world. Because Mahabharata happened 5,000 years ago. Ramayana happened way back, 50,000 years ago. So, by then they have already gone. So, if you ask a question, but there is reference to Hanuman meeting Bhimasena. You know, on the way to Badrinath, there is a famous Sikh temple, isn't it? Hemkund Sahib. Yeah, that's where that meeting happened. That's called Kalyana Saugandhya, Mahabharata. Kalyana Saugandhya means that Anjaneya was lying there with his tail and Bhima tried to move it and he couldn't move it. They are both children of Vayu. Father is the same for Bhima and for Hanuman, right? So all these things happen, but exactly what happened, whether it was a physical thing or it is a spiritual manifestation, we don't know. Whatever it is, that when you look at the explanation of Hanuman by Valmiki, it's a totally different picture than what you read today in the books, in the translations and all that, right? The size of the Hanuman is spoken in a big way. There, how big Hanuman was, right? So, and when Hanuman could change his form very freely, because he was a great yogi as well, so he could change his form. And in Sundarakandam, it talks about while he is sitting on the top of the tree and observing what is happening at the bottom of the tree with Sita Devi and all the other Rakshasa women around her, right? So, there Ramayanam says that he was like a sun rising in the morning, right? His sound was considered to be so sweet, Anjaneya Swami's sound, right? And he recited Ramayanam from the top of the tree to Sita Devi. And Sita Devi was in a very distressed state at that time. And she didn't even know who is singing, but the song she could hear from the top, right? So, hearing the music, all the Rakshasi women who were sitting around Sita Devi, they all fell asleep. They all fell asleep by hearing the music, right? So sweet it was. So, in that Sundarakandam, it talks about this, that Hanuman is thinking, in which language should I sing? So, suppose I sing verses in Sanskrit, they will think that I am someone like a Brahmana who has studied Vedam. That impression will come. And Sita Devi might think about me as though I am a Ravana. I am Ravana myself doing this. Because Ravana was trying to influence her in different ways. So he is saying this. And whether it is that misunderstanding can happen. Right? So, Hanuman was a personality who has impressed many people throughout history. With his intelligence, with his knowledge, and this quality, Mukta Sangha and Ahamkrita, it was totally present in him, right? Even Muslims consider Hanuman is one of their people. They say Hanuman, Sulaiman and all. They take it as their person, right? So, that's how they identify with Hanuman. There are devotees for Hanuman among the community, their community also, right? With identifying with Ravana was difficult for them, but identifying with Hanuman was possible for them, right? So he sang from the top of the tree, and Sita Devi got attracted to that, and then Hanuman came down and spoke about Ramachandra to Sita Devi, right? To convince her that he is, because she is very suspicious whether it could be Ravana in another form. Because she couldn't think that anybody will come. And Ravana was trying all ways and means to influence her. So, then Anjaneya told Sita Devi everything. And Sita is Sita Devi is asking him, asking Hanuman a lot of questions, right? How did you come here? So, and then Hanuman told her that this is how I have come. Then she says to her, how will Ramachandra come here? If he wants to come, how can he come? And how will you, you told about other Kinara, Vanaras, and how are they going to come? And Hanuman says to her that if I can come, they should have no problem in coming because they are all more powerful than me. That's how Hanuman presented to her. To give boost her confidence, to make her convinced that they are much more stronger than me and they are capable of doing this better than me because I am the weakest of all. He says to them like that, right? So, and I'm just a representative. He said, I'm an ordinary person. They won't send the best people in the beginning, he says to her, to Sita Devi, to make her feel that I am one of the smallest in the group and I don't have much to credibility. But because I'm only doing a messenger's job, and for a messenger's duty, you don't require a very highly powerful person. I am such a weak person, they have chosen me for this. And that's how Hanuman was. Hanuman knew the psychology behind that, that how Sita Devi will react in order to create that confidence in her, that if I can do this for them, it should be a no problem at all for them to come here, right? So, somehow or the other, Hanuman has to build that confidence in Sita Devi. Sita Devi should trust him. And therefore he has to speak in such a way, right? So, and making her peaceful. Then nothing to be worried, right? Therefore, Valmiki uses the word Janaki Pranadada, one who has given life to Janaki in that light. So, when you do a karmam, how to do that and able to think about the its effect on the other person and able to speak in that way. And later on that others, Ramachandra and others came to Lanka and with the Sugriva and everybody, right? And then they arrived in Lanka and they saw the palace, Ravana's palace and Ravana's kingdom, and they were in a shock seeing all Ravana has done there. So from a distance, Sugriva saw Ravana from a distance, right? And Ramachandra has come with this army of, we call monkeys now, right? What? They are not monkeys, but we have no other words to use. So, Hanuman's, Sugriva's army, they've all come together with Ramachandra, and they are standing there, and far away, Ravana has come and seen them standing there. This huge army had come, right? So, Sugriva was standing next to Ramachandra. Suddenly Sugriva disappeared from there and he was next to Ravana there. They had all these yogic powers to move from A to B in that way, right? And suddenly Sugriva was standing next to Ramachandra. He disappeared and he was standing next to Ravana, right? And he went there and started beating Ravana and he created a lot of commotion there at that time, right? So, Ravana realized that this is one of Ramachandra's army. And Ravana also is a powerful person, right? He had a lot of yoga power. And he started using his siddhis and against Sugriva. He started fighting, right? Sugriva could not handle that. So, immediately he came back to Ramachandra again. He left Ravana and came back to Ramachandra again. This is all in the first meeting, right? So, Sugriva was very well known for running away from the battlefield. He has done that before with Bali also, right? So, in other words, sometimes with emotions, Sugriva does things. Anjaneya doesn't. There's a difference between Sugriva and Anjaneya. Sugriva was the head, and he had the capacity to control others, Sugriva. But Anjaneya had the intelligence to analyze situations and to speak the right way and to do the things the right way. That was his special power, right? And he won't go and fight with someone out of emotions and create fight like that, like the way Sugriva has done, right? So, so when he was sitting on the top of the tree, Ravana came there to see Sita Devi. And he sat there quietly without revealing himself when Ravana came. And that's what Deshakalana Vritti, able to judge the situation, the time and the place, and able to make the proper decisions, right? So he decided, right now I won't go in front of Ravana. Let's see what Ravana has to say to Sita Devi, right? Because he knew that if he did something, there could be some fight and it could cause problem for Sita Devi. So he didn't want to do that. And in other words, when you do a karmam, able to judge whether it is appropriate time and appropriate place and the situation is favorable and able to make those judgments, Hanuman was good at those things. And after that, everything, he spoke to Sita Devi and got her permission and was leaving her, right? So, it is after taking permission from Sita Devi, then he wanted to tell Ravana that he has arrived in Lanka. So, he did some things there, which was an indication, and that too he did that with Sita Devi's permission. He did that, right? So, when Ravana came to know about this, Ravana says, this is not just a vanara who has come, who has done all these things. Akshay Kumar was killed, his son, in that process, right? And he said, a vanara cannot do this. And Ravana was very much surprised. Ravana has some intuition in him, right? Because Ravana is also a very tapasvi, learned person Ravana is, Brahmana also. And so knowledge is there. So they tied him down and brought him in front of him. And Ravana had such a respect for Hanuman. When Hanuman came, Ravana got up from the seat and stood up and welcomed him. To such an extent, Hanuman impressed him. Then Ravana was so impressed by Hanuman, he got up from the seat and welcomed him, right? And Ravana, in Valmiki says about that, that Ravana thought that Lord Shiva, Ravana is a devotee of Lord Shiva, isn't it, Ravana? So Ravana says there that Nandigeshwara had come in front of me, he thought, seeing Hanuman. Nandigeshwara is Lord Shiva's vehicle when he travels, right? So this is the qualification of a person who does karmam and that mind of Hanuman is glorified in the Sundarakandam. In Ramayana, about that. Whatever karma has to be done, he has executed that very well, and then he came back. So when he came back, Ramachandra says to Hanuman, what can I give you in return for this, for what you have done for me, right? I have nothing with my hands, he said. But Ramachandra understood that Hanuman was capable of doing anything in a perfection. What he did was always in perfection. Right? So, Hanuman's approach was that I have no power, but I have taken complete shelter of Ramachandra. This is Hanuman's power. Or taking that strength inside, coming from that. Right? So, when Ramachandra said that, what do I have to give it to you? He said, all I can give you the best is, and he embraced him. Who? Ramachandra embraced Hanuman at that time. So, and he says to him, you are not different from me. Ramachandra says to Hanuman, you are not different from me, right? So, this is all about Hanuman, what he has done, and all these things, is implied in this word, Mukta Sangaha. Mukta Sangha means all this, right? That means the person who is doing the karma, he is free from all sangam. Free from all sangam. That means he has no attachment anywhere. He is only attached to Ramachandra, but he is not attached to the karma or its result. Able to execute a karma like that is Mukta Sangha. Able to do that, right? That means free from all sangam, no pride inside, and at the same time, tremendous willpower inside to do what he wanted to do, right? Without executing the mission, he won't go back, right? So, and then if you look into Ramayanam, you will see about Hanuman's journey to Lanka. Then there were three personalities who come to block it. Mainagam, Surasa and Simhiga. Three, you will find three of them coming there, right? They were all creating blocks for him to travel. How he overcame them, how the blocks, right? Surasa says to him that you get into my mouth, right? And Surasa is like that. When problems comes, we will get into problems with her, right? So he told her, you get into my mouth. And that is what the demigods are given her, a blessing, boon, like that. So what Hanuman did was, Hanuman became very big, a size, right? So Surasa became bigger than that. And then suddenly Hanuman again became bigger, and again Surasa became bigger. And at that time, Hanuman entered through the mouth of Surasa, came out through the ear. Hanuman entered Surasa's mouth, came out through the ear, right? And says that, I have done what I have to do. I have gone into you and came out, right? So, sometimes in life, right, you may not be able to escape from certain situations in life. It comes in front of us, right? So when you went to go through that problems, right, situations like that, able to think that a higher power has put us through that situations, right? And here what Hanuman's approach was, he offered obeisances to that higher power. He put him through this situation with Surasa, right? With Surasa. And there is a verse there, Pravishto hi naivaktram dakshayane namostude. Hanuman recites these prayers to Sri Parvati and Lord Shiva at that time, right? So Surasa says to him that you have done something which nobody else has done before, right? Therefore she blesses him. Whatever you do in your life, it will all be perfect. Like that, Surasa blesses him after that, right? So your mission is to bring Sita Devi back to Ramachandra, and he blesses her that let everything happen in the proper way. So one thing is that when certain experiences comes in life in some form which is difficult to overcome, when you know that you can't do anything about it, the best thing is to take shelter straight away. Krishna shelter or Ramachandra shelter. If you take shelter, Sharanagiri, then if you do that, that Shakti, that power will give you the blessing to get through that situations in life, right? And you can see that in that verse, Mukta Sangam, Mukta Sango Anaham Krida, Anaham Vadi, Dridi, Ulsaha Samanyuda. Ulsaha means that enthusiasm should not go. Enthusiasm should stay there. And Hanuman doesn't take any rest or anything. He decided to continue with the mission. Mainagam says to Hanuman, you can take some rest before you go, and you are a guest here, I have to accept you like a guest. Mainagam says to Hanuman, right? And you are, and it is my duty to offer respects to you because you are a guest. Right? Hanuman says that my mission is not over. I can't wait. I can't stay. Right? Saying like that, he said thanks to Mainakam and he left. Right. Valmiki says that how did he arrive back? Right? So, Valmiki compares that. A self-realized soul, how he feels freedom from this Maya, how he gets come out of the Maya, in such a way, he went and arrived in Lanka. That is the state of consciousness of Hanuman, right? He glorifies Hanuman there for his strength, for his intelligence, and for his heroic nature, right? Then the security guards in Lanka came to arrest him, right? And they were people who were posted there by the demigods to help Ravana. Ravana had so much control, even the heavenly planets, he was controlling them. And they have given a blessing to Ravana that some great personalities from heavenly planets who had to face some curse, they were posted here as the security people for Ravana. That is how powerful it was, right? And Lord Brahma was also responsible for that. Due to some curse that I had to face, they had come there, right? And they were asking Lord Brahma, when will we be able to come back after the curse? So Brahma told them that one day, a very powerful person, a Vanara, will come, referring to Hanuman, and when he comes, you will be able to leave. You can pack your bags and come back, he said to them, like that, right? So, till before Hanuman arrived in Sri Lanka, no Vanara had visited Sri Lanka. No Vanaras had come to Sri Lanka before that. So Hanuman was the first Vanara who had come there. And this time, he had taken a form of a small cat. Hanuman has taken the form of a small cat, right? And when they understood that it is Hanuman, then they didn't wait anymore. They left. They didn't do their security job anymore. They left, right? And then they could not find him because Hanuman escaped from there because he changed his form and they were searching for him. And then Hanuman wasn't looking for Sita Devi everywhere, right? So somebody told Ramachandra and others that Sita Devi is definitely in Sri Lanka, is there in Lanka, right? So somebody's words only, Hanuman was searching for her, right? Went and searched in the the palace of Ravana's palace. He goes and searches there, and there were all the Ravana's wives there in their inner quarters, right? And Hanuman is a brahmachari. And Hanuman was thinking in his mind, should I go inside and find out where Sita Devi is, right? And whether it is proper for him to go inside, right? he says there, the mind is the one which controls the senses. And at this moment in time, my mind and senses are in good shape. I won't be disturbed by anything like that. So therefore, he decides to go inside, right? And he is seeing them in a peculiar situation like that, right? you are looking for Sita Devi. And Sita Devi is supposed to be with the women, Ravana's wives and other women who are present there, right? And he could not find Sita Devi anywhere. Ultimately, he comes to this Ashoka Vanika, where she was there. And all these are thoughts coming to Hanuman at that time. And he is constantly reciting Ramchandra's name. And he could see that before he met Sita Devi, Hanuman started experiencing a certain happiness inside, in his mind. So, and straight after that, he saw Seda Devi underneath the tree. Underneath the tree, right? And straight away he didn't leave, right? And he showed, decided to show what he mentions here, Dhridi Ulsaha Samanvita, he's saying. Dhridi and Ulsaha, both, yeah? So, he decided that I have to show to them, to Ravana and the Rakshasas, that I have come here. They should know that, right? So he set fire to everything, right? To whole Lanka, he set fire to it. And what you have to remember here is, Anjaneya is Vayu's son. Vayu is one of the five mithil elements, isn't it? And then who is Seda Devi? The daughter of another mithil element, Bhumi Devi. Yeah. So, Vayuputra is Anjaneya. So, Anjaneya is mithil, one of the mithil elements' son. Seda Devi is another mithil element's daughter, right? When he travelled through another mithil element called the space, Agasham, right? And then he set fire to everywhere using another mithil element, Agni. So all these four material elements were working together in this mission. All of that, right? And so you can imagine, when material elements acts on its own, they have tremendous power. Material elements have tremendous power, right? So, you need a karta, doer like this, that who is capable of using the material elements to that extent, right? And if it is like that, any karma will become successful, right? Then, when happened was Indrajit used his brahmastram. When you read all these things, you can see they were not ordinary people. They also had a highly sophisticated technology, but not the way we have developed in the way we have developed. We think this is the only type of technology. No. Mahabharatam also uses the same thing. They had highly sophisticated uses, yoga power, material elements, and learning how to manipulate them. They also had a highly developed knowledge in that way, right? So, when Indrajit applied Brahmastram, everyone fell unconscious. Ramachandra, Lakshmana, they all fell unconscious, right? And this is during the war, this happened. And the whole, in the battlefield, whole army is lying on the ground, right? And only person who didn't get killed, who didn't get and become unconscious was Vibhishana. So Vibhishana takes a torch and he's looking, is anyone alive at that time? If you read Ramayana, you'll find these things about the war, right? And he got to Hanuman and he saw Hanuman was... is not affected. And so Vibhishana noticed that Hanuman was not affected by the Brahmastram from Indrajit. Everybody else, including Ramachandra and Lakshmana, they were lying there unconscious, right? And then he looked around for everywhere else. There's an old person lying there, Jambavan. Jambavan was not affected, but he was very, very old at that time itself, right? And Jambavan got up when he saw Vibhishana coming there. And Vibhishana asked Jambavan, do you know me? Vibhishana is asking Jambavan, do you know me? He said, right? Jambavan didn't answer that. He says to him, he didn't ask about Ramachandra. He knew that everybody is down. He didn't ask about Ramachandra. He didn't ask about Lakshmana. He didn't ask about Sugriva either. But he inquired, is Anjaneya's son there? Is he alive? Because Jambavan knew, if Anjaneya is there, something can be done about it, right? So he asked, is Anjana Devi Supraja, the son, or one who has become the son of Vayu, or Vayu has become whose father? Is that Hanuman is living still, right? So, Then Vibhishana says, yes, Hanuman is there. That if Hanuman has left the body, then there is no point in living anymore. This is how Jambavan said to Vibhishana, right? It is as good as we are all dead, right? And when Hanuman is there, there is a way out. That is how he said, right? So these are all symptoms of a karta, proper karta. That's what these words are important. Mukta sango, anahamvadi, dhridi, ulsaha samanyita, right? No abhimanam in anything, in doing anything. No attachment to results. No pride in doing anything. Mukta sango, anahamvadi. And there is no identification with the karma, able to do a karma like that, which is a big thing, not easy for anyone, right? So that is why those two words, very important in this 18th chapter, Mukta Sangam Anahamvadi. And a person who is doing karma like that, he is a Satvika Karta. That's the conclusion. One who does karma like that. Mukta Sangam Anahamvadi. He is a Satvika Karta. Satvika Karta. Right? So, so important this is, right? Mukta Sango, Mukta Parityakta Sango, Yenasa Mukta Sanga, Anahamvadi, and Dhridi Ulsaha Samanyuda. It mentions there. Right? If you look at your Bhagavad Gita also, in that verse, he says, one who performs the duty, his duty, without association with the modes of material nature, without false ego, with great determination, enthusiasm, and without wavering in success or failure, is said to be a worker in the mode of goodness. So it's not easy to be a sattvika karta. Krishna is saying this. Siddhya siddhyor nirvigaraha karta sattvika muchyade. So sattvika karta is not an easy thing. How many people are there like this in this world now? Sattvika karta. There isn't practically very, very, very few probably. So, so Hanuman is one of the best examples for that. Similarly, Vivekananda Swamiji's life also, if you look at it, you will find these things, right? Now, earlier, on the 17th verse, when we discussed, if you go back, yes, in Ahankrito Bhavam, yasya nahankrado bhavam buddhir yasya na lipyade hatvami sa iman lokan na handi na nipadyade. Yeah. So in that, at the end, Ajani Swamiji says, sa, esha, sarva vedartha saram, nipuna madhibhi, panditai vijaya pradipattavya idi, tatra tatra prakarana vibhagena darshida asmabi shastra nyayanu sarena. He says, the essence of all the Vedam, it is important, Vedartha Saram, to extract the message from the Vedam. Nibunamadhibi, people who are capable of doing that. Because Vedam is such a complex subject. From the Vedam to extract the proper message requires high upasana. In Bhagavatam also it comes. When they categorize Brahmanas, you have seen that in the fourth canto, I think it says. Brahmanas are classified based on people who are capable of, who studied Vedam, who are performing yajnam, yagam. That means they are capable, they have studied Vedam, and they are capable of performing yajnam, which is a little higher than those who have just studied Vedam. Then there are Brahmanas who have able to explain Vedam to others. That's another category there. And above all are those who have understood, able to interpret Vedam in the right way. So there are gradations among Brahmanas also. So that's what he's saying. Sarva Vedartha Saro Nipuna Madhibi. Those who have that expertise
in extracting the Veda Saram, Vedartha Saram, right, Panditai. So, and that is how he begins there, right? Shastra Nyayanu Sarena, he says there. Sarva Vedartha Saram. So, in commentary, many things are discussed. And it is a conclusion what he is talking about, right? What is the main topic here? Who is a karta, proper karta, right? As long as you have this, I am the doer, and that begins the whole problem. This is the cause of all suffering, to think that I am the doer, right? And in continuation of that is the results. When you think you are the doer, then you get the problem that I am the enjoyer. It follows that, is it not? I am the doer is followed by I am the enjoyer. So, for example, happiness. Who is experiencing happiness, right? I am experiencing. That is very strong in us when you are experiencing happiness. It's very powerful, right? Similarly, when you experience distress also, in the same way, I am suffering. It is my suffering in that way. So happiness and distress, who is experiencing? I am experiencing in that way, right? So that is why Vedantam says there that you have to look at that moment, who is this me, who is experiencing happiness and suffering? And this is the crux in the Vedantam. This is the crux of the Vedantam, right? That one who is doing it, who in whom this is happening, in whom it is happening. Not what is happening, but in whom it is happening. That's more important from Vedanta point of view. Right? So that is why this aham karta, aham bhokta is so important in Vedanta. Normally, you see, we look into the world and when suffering comes, we say we are suffering, but we will try to sort out the problem. Our approach is different, is it not? When a problem comes, normally what do? We try to sort the problem out. Because I am affected by the problem, then we try to solve the problem whatever that is facing us at that moment. In Vedantam, that is not the approach. Vedantam, the approach is, who is suffering from the problem? Who has the problem? That is the approach. It's again Drikka Drishyam, the same approach, right? Drishyam is not important, Drik is important. The one who is experiencing them suffering is important, right? So all the Vedantis will say like this, that they will shift the problem, they will shift the issue from the problem to the person who is facing the problem. That is the Vedantic method, Vedantic choice. It's like that, right? Prakriti is doing things in this world. So trying to fiddle with the Prakriti is not worthwhile, as far as they are concerned, right? So, and that, because they uphold that verse in the Bhagavad Gita very strongly. What is that? Prakriti Grihamanani. They give importance to that verse. Prakriti Grihamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvesha Ahangara Vimodhalma Kartaham Idimanyade. That verse, if you take, you can see the stress is on that, the doer. Who is doing it? Who is experiencing it? Right? So, that means through ahangaram, one who has become a mudha, ajnani, or one who thinks I am the karta, I am the bhokta, in that way. So, all these experiences happening in the prakriti. Happening in the prakriti. Right? And this is the approach of all the realized souls. When suffering comes in life. For example, if you look at Ramakrishna Paramahamsa also, similarly, Ramana Maharshi also, and many others, great, great souls, they had to suffer in life. It's not that they were free from suffering, right? Maharshi had cancer, Ramana, he also had cancer in a different form, who Paramahamsa also. So, to understand it better, that when Maharshi was in trouble with the cancer, right,
Suppose you say that I am a devotee, so it won't come to me, you won't escape from that. Suffering will come. Just because now we are saying to everybody, I am a devotee, it won't happen to me. You can't take that approach when the death comes or when the disease comes at that time. That approach won't work. You may say, I am Krishna's devotee, or I am Ramchandra's devotee, or I am Shiva's devotee. All that is not going to solve the problem. Problem will be there. And everyone, even Srila Prabhupada's case also, at the end he had to go through that health problems, what he had, right? So, you say you are a devotee, it is not going to solve the problem. Suffering will come, right? And there, tatvajnanam is necessary. And you have to have some realization of the tatvajnanam inside. Otherwise, you won't be able to escape from that suffering, right? Because normally, people who associate with, say some powerful guru has come in this world, and the devotees will start taking pride. I am his disciple, close disciple, I am a senior disciple, or whatever you say, right? This is all normal in this world. They identify themselves with that powerful personality and thinking that they won't be subjected to any sufferings in this world, right? But associating with a powerful devotee and associating with Krishna is different. Our devotion to Krishna in the temple and our devotion to the guru or a powerful personality with whom you are taking shelter, relationship is different. Why? With Krishna you glorify him in different ways. Krishna is stotram stuti priya, he is. He likes to be glorified. Guru, what he is looking for is not glorification. What he is looking for from a devotee or someone who is taken a shelter is that he wants obedience. Following shastram and living the life. That's what he is expecting. Which is different from a relationship with the deity at the temple. You see, understand what I'm saying, right? So people misunderstand. They think I glorified Krishna, I glorified my guru. That won't work. With guru it doesn't work like that. Guru is Krishna's another form, it is present in front of us. But the relationship between the disciple and the guru is such, we are talking about proper guru and proper disciple, right? Is such that the disciple has to be 100% submissive to the guru, and guru's instructions should be his life and soul. Yeah. Then if you ask the question, so whatever he has instructed, it should be followed. And so Maharshi said when he was sick, there were many people who were taking his shelter at that time in that way. But he didn't tell them, any one of them, that I am there to give you any help or protect anybody, right? And only his instruction was, you realize yourself and you get out of the problem. That is how he instructed them, right? So you can see that how the relationship changes in the case of a guru and Krishna. In Krishna's case, you can take shelter because it's ashraya yogyam it is, right? Like for example, in life also, you can take shelter of, you can use some medicine when you get sick, right? It's called upayoga yogyam. That means you can use them, but you can't take shelter of them. Shelter only in Krishna. Ashram only Krishna, not in the medicine. Medicine you can use them when you get sick. If it works, it works. It doesn't work, upayoga yogyam it's called. Krishna is ashraya yogyam. Medicines are not ashraya yogyam. You can't take ashraya. Shelter, you can't take it there. In the same way, that Krishna is ashrayam always. He is ashraya yogyam. He is capable of taking shelter. We can take shelter of him. Right? Guru's case, if you have surrendered like that to the Guru, and if you have followed his instructions, then gradually you will be guided towards self-realization and the knowledge associated with that, right? Gradually it will lead us to knowledge, right? So if the relationship is strong with the Guru in that way, then that knowledge will come quickly. So that is the benefit. So if you ask the question that there is no bhakti in there then with the Guru and the disciple, the bhakti towards Guru is in this way. Bhakti towards Krishna is in a different way. There are two different ways of relating with Guru and the and Krishna. Guru and Krishna, right? So, so this relationship with the Guru is like this, that a strong faith that Guru will help him. And but if you won't listen anything what he has told and you don't obey him, then there is no relationship practically. There is no relationship, right? So to get this knowledge inside properly takes time, that relationship with the Guru, right? And otherwise you may feel distressed in life, right? So in Krishna's case, bhakti can develop, direct bhakti can develop, and bhakti can become jnanam later, knowledge later, when he realizes that I am not the doer. So with Krishna what you are doing is that I am not the doer, you are the doer, everything is happening through me, but you are doing everything, I am nothing. This is the relationship with the Ishvara, right? I am just a toy in your hands in this way. So, when that becomes very powerful, then you can see that Sarvadharman Parityajya does work at that point. Sarvadharman Parityajya, right? So, if the bhakti develops in that way, Sarvadharman Parityajya, Mamegam Sharanam Raja, in that way. So, so here, Upanishad talks about that a Jivan Mukta person, liberated soul, is as good as Brahman. He is not different from Brahman, right? So, he is not a Brahma with, he is Brahma itself. He is not a Brahma with, knower of Brahma, but he is Brahma himself, right? And when some personalities, when they had seen Ramana Maharshi, at that time they developed such a faith in him, right? And they also realize Atma Jnanam, the knowledge of the self, of their immortality, that you don't die. See, the fear of death is inside everyone. And that we will die, right? But when our consciousness changes, that death doesn't happen, what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, right? That there is no such thing called death. This can happen even if you get in association with a liberated soul. So, but it requires a bhakti and vishwasa, faith in that, right? That kind of bhakti, if one has towards a realized soul, right, it doesn't take very long to turn that bhakti into knowledge. In what way? Immediately it will develop in the form of realization. That bhakti towards him will turn into realization and knowledge immediately in the form that death is not real. That realization will, the bhakti will develop into that form. Right? So, what is that sarupam of that? That is what Krishna is saying there. Yasya naham krido bhavo, in a person who is in that state, right, that means bhakti has developed a jnanam. At that stage, yasya naham krido bhavo, that situation will come. He will not be able to, he will be in this state that this I am the doer has totally left him. This is the effect of that bhakti. I am the doer has totally gone away from him. Right? And Krishna says there, isn't it? Buddhir yasya na lipyate. You see that word? Buddhir yasya na lipyate. Yoga system says he's like a mirror at that time. So, if you stand in front of a mirror, right, if you are so clear inside, your reflection will be very clear in the mirror, right? What he is saying is that one who is tattvavit, one who knows the tattvam, and tattvam has gone into the buddhi, right, such a person, hatva bisa iman lokan, nahandi na nibhadyade. Right. Whatever karma he does in this world, and whatever karma comes in his life due to prarabdham, he won't be identifying with it, even if it is coming through prarabdham. Right? So, what he is saying is, karma is not anymore a block for him in his liberation. Karma has moved away from that. Right? Not that I am performing karma or thinking that due to karma my meditation is affected, right? Or I lost my peace, all these things. Ajahn Swami calls that as Kshudra Brahmavitta. In other words, what he is saying here is that his Brahmajnanam, his realization is Kshudra. Kshudra means it's not very deep. It's not very deep, right? Or in other words, you can say that the realization is not strong enough inside. When you look at Upanishads, all these things, you get a different understanding of things in a little bit more deeper level. Yeah. For example, right, in Shastram, the realized souls are spoken at different levels, to different capacity, right? Those who have realization inside and those who their activities in this world also reflect the same thing, both inside and outside. Inside realization is there and they are dealing with the world also in the same way. For example, you know these Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, they are all coming from the Puranam side, isn't it? It's not coming from the Upanishads. They are coming from the Puranams. So, when Upanishads knowledge is applied to Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, you will understand it better, how it works. Through Brahma, through Vishnu and through Shiva. And all these forms, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, has a relationship with their state of consciousness. Obviously, when you study only Puranam, Puranam won't talk about these things. Puranam will only say, Lord Brahma, he sat in the lotus flower. And you are not allowed to ask any more question after that. Where is this lotus flower? What is this lotus flower? And he has got four heads and he looks in four different directions. When we just accept it, that's one way of accepting from the Puranam. But Puranam has come from Upanishads. After all, Vedavyas made the whole Upanishads knowledge more accessible to ordinary people through Puranam. So, when you understand what Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva means in the light of Upanishads, you start seeing that connection with Upanishads and the Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, right? So, Brahma representing, Brahma, the concept of Brahma itself is, right, that this karta bhokta, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, so long as it doesn't come in a person, that is Brahma, Brahma's position, right? So that is why, you see, when Brahma conducts the creation, he does that in a samadhi state, where
aham karta, aham bhokta is not there in Brahma at that stage, right? You can see how powerful this issue is. For example, suppose you have a big responsible position in a corporate in company, like the chief executive or anything. You won't even get sleep at night because there will be so many problems and solving the problems. You'll be occupied with all that. Is it not? Big people, I'm saying. Big chief executives of big companies, right? And not normally you cannot sleep even because of the problems that's going. It's well known, all big businesses who are running them, their problems are big problems. They can't even sleep at night. That's their life, right? But you see, Lord Brahma is getting good sleep, who is doing much bigger than the corporations. His creation is so big, and he has so much responsibility and all that, but he gets good sleep. In other words, when we talk about Brahma, what we have to understand is this: in creation, in samadhi state, he is doing everything, means aham karta, aham bhokta is not there in Brahma, Lord Brahma. It is in that state that he is doing the creation, right? So, and this lotus flower was created before him. In other words, creation has happened already before that. The lotus flower was created before Brahma. Then Brahma goes and sits on that. Is it not? So, and the way he sits, very steady, in a straight, very steady and straight, right? And there is no other personality in Puranam who has been criticized as much as Lord Brahma. Everybody has made fun of Lord Brahma. And you will feel sorry for him, because sometimes Brahma has done creation, yes, responsible for creation, but Brahma has been criticized in so many places. He doesn't get the same respect what Vishnu or Shiva gets. You must have seen that. People think all these things that, Brahma had got to go through all these difficulties, right? And so that is Brahma. And at the same time, Brahma, he carries these beads also with him. In the pictures you will see him, right? So his approach is that, even though all this creation has come through me, I have nothing to do with it. I am busy in chanting whatever Brahma is chanting, right? So, so in Vedantam, therefore Brahma is given a lot of respect because of this. That is why all the paramparas begin with Brahma in the beginning. Remember, every sampradaya begins with Brahma. Narayanam Palma Bhuvam Vasishtam. That is where the Advaita parampara comes. Others also, Vaishnava paramparas, four of them, all come from through Brahma only. So, even though he is given that position, right? He is given that position, his situation is like this, right? Namo Brahma Vidya Sampradaya. But his main qualification is this, that Kartrutva Bhoktrutvam is not there in him in creation, right? Gurum Gurunam says here. So, even for a moment, he is not disturbed from his Brahmanishta. Brahmanishta means that steadiness in Brahman realization, right? That it is for this reason only. Suppose you have not become perfect here in this world. You didn't develop the self-realization and become totally free. And therefore, but you have come to very close to mature state, you are sent to Brahmalokam, Brahma's planet. Through Krama Mukti, you go to Brahmalokam and you stay there. And then when Brahma goes back, you go back with him. You get liberated at that time, right? So what the understanding is that if you have not become perfect in Brahma Vidya here, when you get to Brahma's world, planet, eventually you will become perfect, Brahma Vidya. You will become perfect there. And then your realization will be complete, right? And that is the Vaidika Sampradaya. This is all reasons behind it. Why this Krama Mukti? Why we go to Brahma Lokam? Suppose you didn't make it here. Sadhya Mukti didn't happen. So Jyomukti means you are liberated here itself. But Kramamukti, the end destination is Brahmaloka. And when Brahma, there you will become perfect and eventually you will become liberated. Right? Similarly, if you take Vishnu and Shiva, what happens there? Right? When we have to do something in this world, Vishnu's duty is maintenance, is it not? So, how much difficulty we go through sometimes when you have to execute things, right? And Vishnu is lying on top of an Adishesha, a snake. He's lying on top of Adishesha. When we do karmam, we get affected. That it disturbs our mind and we try to focus on it and it doesn't work. Sometimes it fails and things like that. Always a stress inside us. But look at Vishnu. He is lying on Adishesha and Adishesha is a snake, isn't it? But he is getting good sleep there. For example, if we are lying down on a bed and even if a water snake is underneath the bed, we will be a little scared. That is for people like us, right? Water snake. But some people, even if a lizard is somewhere in the wall, or even if a spider there, that's enough for them. They can't sleep at night. The spider will come any time to get you. That's it. That's how we are, isn't it? But Vishnu is lying on a snake in the milk ocean, not affected by that. What does that point to us, right? So, normally in hot weather, these spiders comes out. They are there in the house, right? Underneath the carpet, underneath the water piping and all. They are living there. And then suddenly they pops out. When the weather is very hot, you will see at home. In my house it's coming anyway. I don't know in other houses, but it comes in the summer times. Particularly when it's very hot, you see they're coming out in the bathroom and in the kitchen and all that. Obviously they are living there underneath and they show up at that time. Right? And then we take these chemicals and try to kill them and we get scared, oh, it's going to affect us, poison us and this and that. Right? So Mahavishnu's case, all that problems, he doesn't go and kill Adishesha there. Adishesha is lying there and he is comfortably sleeping on Adishesha. He gets good sleep, even though he's sleeping on top of the Adishesha, right? Not at all disturbed, right? So, Vivekananda mentions this also, that when he had to travel across ocean, at that time, that many people didn't travel at that time. They never crossed the ocean. It was considered to be against Vedic traditions to move because of the various reasons behind that. Habits of others and animal slaughter and people who had no Varnashrama Dharma. All this was reason behind that. So traditionally, them days, people won't go outside. It started later, afterwards. Right? So Vivekananda says that I had seasickness and other thing. And he writes about that when he came back. When he was writing, even while in his journey, he was writing and experiences what he was going through. Right? So, he is saying that it is in this ocean Narayana is lying down, right? Say the milk ocean, right? So, for us, sometimes even the milk won't digest. If you take the milk as it is, you won't get digested. It has to be boiled and then may get digested. Sometimes some people can't drink milk because it gets digested, right? But here he is lying down in this milk ocean. And Mahalakshmi is at the feet, massaging his feet, right? And what it means is that you have a lot of wealth. Mahalakshmi means wealth, is it not? So that is also not a good situation. When you have a lot of wealth, it's a very dangerous situation. Right? If you have more than what you need in life, if you have more than what you need in your life, right, you are opening the door for disaster. Some disasters will come up, turn up in due course of time. Something will happen, right? So, that is why the same Mahavishnu's deity is in Ranganatha temple, Adishesha, lying on Adishesha. That is the temple. So, when Ranganatha was glorified, the glorification of Ranganatha is in the Ranganatha Ashtagam, 8 verses. Ajarya Swamiji writes about that. And the first word he used about Ranganatha was Ananda Rupe Nija Bodha Rupe. He says, total bliss, lying on a snake Adishesha in the milk ocean, massaged by Mahalakshmi, but state of consciousness of Vishnu, Ananda Rupa. Bliss, full of bliss. Ananda Rupe Nija Bodha Rupe, Brahma Swarupe Shruti Murti Rupe, Shashanga Rupe, Ramaniya Rupe, Sri Ranga Rupe, Ramadam Mano Me. Sri Ranga Rupe, Ramadam Mano Me. So, if you study all the Ashtagams written about Panduranga, written about Ranganatha, written about Jagannatha, written about Tirupari Vengareshwara, and similarly Govinda Ashtagam, Sri Krishna Ashtagam, in everything, the first line will be referring to the consciousness of the form. Here it is bliss, ananda rupam, nija bodha rupam. In everything, satyam jnanam anandam brahmam, that's how Govinda Ashtagam begins. So, same with Panduranga Ashtagam, same thing with Jagannath Ashtagam, all the, even about the Malligarjuna Kshetram, where Lord Shiva was glorified, also in the same way. So, Ajarya Swamiji sees all these forms as Brahmam. All the forms are manifestations of Brahmam. And Brahmam means this Satachitta Anandam. That is the actual form. The other form he will glorify later. Which one? The form what we are worshipping. That comes later. But first begins everything as Satchidananda Brahmam. So that's how he has spoken. Right, so and this is the same form in Palpanabha Swami temple also in Tiruvananthapuram, same as like in the Mahavishnu's form lying down on top of Adishesha in that way. Right, that means that is Yoga Nidra. Right, Yoga Nidra means totally at ease, like we saw about Lord Brahma after creation in the Samadhi state. Similarly, Mahavishnu's case, it is Brahma Swarupe Shruti Murti Rupe. Vedam has personified, come from him, from Mahavishnu, right? Ananda Rupe Nija Bodha Rupe, right? So, we get very easily disturbed by the creation. Mahavishnu is not disturbed by the creation, right? Now you can see in here also to some extent, but because this education, modern education, is so demanding and so much stress on the children to study. So some parents, the child is only in the first standard. And if you see the stress the parents are going to, it is unbelievable. You can see how much they are suffering for nothing. The child has come to this world and it's only 5 or 6 years old, and there's so many reels you can see them having fun about the parents going through this, right? The stress the parents are going through in educating the child, because the Indian parents want all the children to be 100%, not even 99%. They have to be 100%. The anxiety inside that if they don't study, what will happen? And then the discussion at home between the parents and other family members about the child's performance in the school. And every class is keeping up with the progress and all that, right? So, when you see all that, and when you see Mahavishnu state with
all this, compare the two and see how what a difference it makes, right? So, so here, therefore, when he referred to Krishna's householder life, Acharya Swamiji says, Trilogi Grihasthaya Vishno Namaste. He talks about Krishna. Trilogi Grihastha, what never had 16,108 wives and 10 children from all of them. Suppose, imagine our situation with this one child and educate one child, the stress you are going through, or we are going through. Imagine, compare that with Trilogi Grihasthaya Vishno Namaste, he says. There is no other grihastha like Krishna had, a householder life Krishna had. And Krishna was not affected by that householder life, right? So, so Ananda Rube, Nijabodha Rube, Brahmasya Rube, Shudimurti Rube, Shashanga Rube, Sri Ramaniya Rube, Sri Ranga Rube, Ramadam Manome, in this way, right? So, how is he able to do that? Because of this knowledge behind it. Because of the knowledge behind it, power of the knowledge of the self, Atma-jnanam, Atma-vidya, that power of knowledge is what helping him to do that, helping Mahavishnu to be like this, right? So, Yoga-nidra means, mainly referring to this knowledge, Yoga-nidra means that he is situated in that yoga state. So, that is what he is saying there. Then, eyes are half open, and why he is looking at his heart from the eyes, right? Lord Brahma taught us while sitting how one should sit, and Mahavishnu is teaching us while lying sleeping how we should lie down. That is Mahavishnu's education to us, right? Vishnu is teaching us how to sleep, right? Peacefully, without affected by anything, right? And it is in his abdomen this lotus flower is coming, in which Brahma is going to sit, is it not, right? So, why is it coming from the navel? Because when you do big, big things, you have a churning inside your stomach, at the bottom of the stomach, isn't it? You have a churning. Feeling that whether it will come out nicely or not. So, yeah, that stress, what you feel, experience in your stomach, right? So, the karmam has to happen in the lightest way, with the simplest way it should happen. And it should not affect you at the same time. So, everything should happen in a very... undisturbed manner without affecting you. And that is like that Yoga Nidra of Vishnu, representing that, of Yoga Nidra of Vishnu. So, Puranams will have taken all these principles from the Upanishads and gave that form to it, right? So, that is what was shown in Krishnavataram also, right? Even though many, many things have happened, and creation, maintenance, destruction all happened, something that has not affected is Krishnavatara. In Krishna's appearance, none of these has any effect on him. Totally detached to everything what happened. Destruction happened, Mahabharata and all big, big wars happened, unaffected by that. And a lot of fighting happened in Krishna's time, totally unaffected by that. Yeah. So, then that is about Vishnu. Then Lord Shiva's case, right? Samharam it is. When Samharam happens, right, it is referred to as Ananda Tandava. Lord Shiva is dancing at that time. That Nataraja form is Anandam. Bliss coming from inside. Anandam it is, right? So, even when Tandavam happens, Tandavam means this cosmic dance, they call it, isn't it? And Tandavam is called cosmic dance. When that happens, one should be able to stay like Rudra, like Shiva, in Samadhi state, right? All these are, what Bhagavatam is, Bhagavad Gita is also referring to these things, saying to us,
Are you able to stay in a state like this, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, during the process of creation, and like way it is Lord Shiva, Vishnu is maintaining it, and when destruction happens, are you able to face the destruction in the same way, right? So these things are discussed by the sannyasis. They talk about this, right? For example, Akhandananda Saraswati, who lived in Vrindavanam for a long time, and Karpatraji Maharaj, who lived in Kashi for some time, yeah, they meet each other and they have discussion about it. It's all available in the internet and it's in the books form also. It's available, right? So they were talking about this matter, this subject. They were discussing, right? Karpatraji Maharaj was highly learned, highly scholarly person, right? He lived in Kashi, right? And Akhandananda Swamiji asked him, you know this Sthitaprajna Lakshanam, what Krishna is talking about in Bhagavad Gita? And that Sthitaprajnatvam, to what extent is that in you? Akhandananda Saraswati asked Karpatraji Maharaj, to what extent is that present in you? He wanted to understand that. You know, how much do you feel that present inside, right? So Karpatraji Maharaj, he was well known, you see. He told him like this, you have asked about Sthitaprajna Lakshanam, and I can tell you what that is. But if you ask about me, how much has it come to me, right? That it will be difficult for me to precisely say where I am at, he said. I can only tell you what is mentioned in the Shastram, he said. But one who can have it, it is the best. One who has got that, it's the best, right? Lord Shiva Samhara Tandavam, when destruction happens, he said that Prakriti is changing completely. He said, when destruction means Prakriti is changing, right? But he is in a blissful state when the destruction happens, right? Who is doing the Tandavam? Prakriti is doing the Tandavam. Changes happens in the Prakriti, not in the Shiva. That happens in Prakriti. But that Tandavam should not affect us. Like the way Lord Shiva is dealing with the Prakriti, if we are able to deal with the Prakriti, whatever happens in this world and in the Prakriti, if that is not affecting us, then you have understood what Lord Shiva's situation is, position is. Yeah, that's what he is saying here. So if you are able to see in this way, like Brahma, like Vishnu, like Shiva, if it happens like that, then kartrutva bhoktrutva won't be there in that person. So you can see what a long journey this kartrutva bhoktrutva creates. It is not just saying to somebody, I'm not the doer, I'm not the enjoyer, I can say with my lips. But it is so deep inside. Once this has gone from us, it means you have escaped from Maya. Maya has withdrawn from you. So normally Maya withdraws from a person. Kartrutva bhoktrutvam creates ragadvesham. Kartrutva bhoktrutvam creates ragadvesham. So Maya means these four things. Kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, ragam, dvesham. So if these four things are, kartrutva bhoktrutvam has gone, means ragadvesham also gone, that means Maya has gone. So that is freedom from material existence, samsara, or freedom from Maya, right? So Sthitaprajnatvam, when they were talking about it, in fact, many experiences in our life is like a tandavam, isn't it? So many things happens in life, totally unexpected things happen. Problems comes in life, people in different ways, in the form of war it can come, or physical problems, health problems, mental problems, or financial problems, various kind of problems. And sometimes it can be so heavy that it can disturb your mind completely. You can go out of control, right? So what he's saying here, Brihadaranyam talks about this, right? This Ananda Tandavam, it is happening in the cemetery where Lord Shiva is supposed to be dancing there, right? So, when we get sick, right? When we get sick, sometimes if we leave the body, it's fine, it goes. But sometimes sickness comes, and as much as the sickness is increasing in the body, right? The person who has this knowledge, jnani, his jnana prakasham will also go up. Do you understand? That the, when the sickness gets worse in the body, if you had this knowledge inside, the power of the knowledge will start working better at that time, right? And this is how Upanishad says. Brihadaranya Upanishad talks about that. That when you get sick, if this knowledge is already there in you, the knowledge will start showing its power at that time, how it helps, right? And this you can see in many great personalities. You have seen that with Ramana Maharshi, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, in Prabhupada's case also, that the body, when you look at Prabhupada's body at that time, it looked like a bag of bones. It was difficult to look at the face because he couldn't even move the face. And these disciples now, they are fighting over all these issues now, isn't it? They were holding the mic in front of him because, as usual, the Western devotees were not very clear with the instructions what they should do. They want everything very black and white instructions. So they also had problems. They were saying that Prabhupada clearly told us what is the... On one place he has said in one way, in another place he said something else, and now it has gone to the court and all that. So you see a Prabhupada situation at that time. Look at it from his side. They were saying that they wanted Prabhupada to say clearly what is to be done after you leave. They were so helpless because they didn't know what to do. They were not used to thinking in a deeper level, nor did they have anybody to guide them either. It was a very difficult situation. Everybody knew that. And that is why everyone had a fear in the mind what will happen after his departure. That fear was there in their mind. You could see that at that time. And his health, but he was able to hold on to his spiritual consciousness even in that state. He left this world saying Hare Krishna. Able to leave the body. That means, even though all this ISKCON was created, and all these disciples were there, these temples were there, at the time when he needed that support from inside, Krishna has given that support to him to leave this world in a way that what he wanted, the way he wanted to leave this world, right? So what he's saying is that in great personalities' life, if you look at it, when they leave this world, you can see this, that what they have cultured throughout life, the knowledge and the realizations, does take control of them at the time of death. Does take control of them. And that will be their protection for them while leaving this world. That is what they wanted, basically. The other thing they have done as a duty, they have done that and they left to the others to take advantage of whatever they want to take advantage. But they also know very well that after their departure, things will change. It won't stay the same. Yeah. So that is why these liberated souls, if you observe their departure, there's a lot of things to learn from that, right? So, Jivan Muktas, in other words, Jivan Muktas case, right? Yeah. Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. So, similarly, four Kumaras, right? For Kumaras also, that they are Mukta Purushas, liberated souls, right? And they are jnanis. And similarly, great rishis in this world, Shri Shuka Brahmarshi, all of them. And there is a whole parambara like that in heavenly planets, Devayogam, and also here in the Bhumi also, right? Janaka, King Janaka and others, right? So, all these great personalities, Their situation is that even for a moment they are not separated from Krishna, from that realization, right? And they don't give even for one opportunity to think, I am the doer or I am the enjoyer. To such an extent, they are freedom from that. That I am the doer and I am the enjoyer has no effect on any one of them. Shukabrahmarshi, Janaka, King Janaka,
and many other rishis and four kumaras, all of them in that category. That I am karta, I am bhokta, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, does not affect their prajna, their consciousness. In other words, tita prajnatum is permanently present in their consciousness, right? So that is that verse is so important. Yasya naham krido bhavo buddhir yasya na lipyade. We are just trying to understand that verse as detailed as possible. Buddhir yasya na lipyade hatwabi saiman lokan na handi na nibhadyade. Right? So after saying this, that he says there that when we looked at that verse, Mukta Sangha Anahamvadi. Mukta Sangha Anahamvadi, right? So, some verses in the Bhagavad Gita are very, very important, and that is one of them. To understand Bhagavad Gita, what is Bhagavad Gita expecting us? What change is required in us? How far we have to change within us, right? And this is one of that. Mukta Sangha Anahamvadi, right? What he is saying there in that 26th verse. Mukta Sangha Anahamvadi Dhriti Ulsaha Samanyavita Siddhya Siddhyor Nirvigara Karta Satika Muchyate. Right? He is not worried after doing the karmam, am I getting the results or not? It has nothing to do with him. He is not at all affected by that, whether the results come or not. Right? And sometimes you see in the olden days, in the school, right? There were students. It's not now anymore. Now it's a different change. Government understood that it's costing them a lot of money. But in them days, if you don't pass, you will stay back in the same class. Right? So some people will come to, here they call GCSE, in India they call it SSLC. It's called that, right? So you get to SSLC, you don't pass, you failed. You'll come back to the same school, same class again, right? And some people have stayed like that for 4, 5, 6 times. They didn't get through. And they get very old by then. And the young boys and girls, they are coming. So there's a huge age difference between, he becomes so senior, he's become too young, the ones who have come now, right? And so good experience he gets and everything, but he doesn't get through the exam at the end, right? So, and then eventually if you observe, look at him, that person, right? He will see he's so detached to everything. He has no sangam anywhere. Because he has gone through this so many times, he doesn't care anymore. He says, I've done this so many times, I'm not getting through anyway. So what happens at that time? Sangam goes away. Nisangatum comes to him. Nisangatvai kalpade. You have to see, you may not have experienced that because you have gone through a different system. I have seen that. That's why I'm saying this. We used to have one or two like this. And they'll come after 4, 5 years, what happens is, they'll come to school, but they won't study anything at home. And they'll come to school just for fun and spend the whole day having fun with the teachers because they're almost the teacher's age. By now. So they have no respect for the teachers also. But in the class they will behave. But otherwise they will have a funny time because from home they have to come out because the parents don't want them at home. They send them off to pass but they don't get passed. What to do? So it is at that time that there is no sangam. You can see how there is no sangam anymore. Sangam has gone from them. Nisangatvai kalpade. Mukta Sangam, that's compared to him. Mukta Sangam, Anahamvadi, right? So, but the willpower is still there for the next year to exam, for the exams, right? And not disturbed about the results either. If he comes again, he takes the same approach, for pass or not, doesn't matter, he says, right? So, if in that way, Mukta Sangam, Anahamvadi, if you are able to do things in this world, right? And that means without thinking what I'm going to get from this, not even bothered about what the results come from that. If you think like that, there won't be any happiness in doing things, right? Happiness is inside us, right? Not in the results of the karma,
right? Not in the results of the karma. Happiness is to be maintained within ourselves, that shanti. And if one who knows this secret, he is satyam, karta. Karta satyam uchyate. So a person who is in that state, engages in karma, not bothered about the results, and results does not have any impact on his consciousness, and he is able to maintain that stability, shanti inside, unaffected by the results, such a person who does karta is satyam, Krishna says. Mukta sango anaham vadi, dridi ulsaha samanyutaha, siddhya siddhyor nirvigaraha, kartam karta satyam uchyade. Nirvigaram. Nirvigaram means not creating any emotions inside. Love or hate from the results, it does not create. So you can see why Krishna gives importance to that word. So to understand karma means satyam, karma means jnanam. Sorry, karma in satyam, jnanam in satyam. Three important things. Jnanam, karma and karta. All in satyam. And when you read and understand those verses, you can see that there is not many people who are in that state, who can do karma. That is how difficult it is. Yeah. So we'll see that tomorrow then. Rajasam. Or glory to Srila Prabhupada. Excellent.